This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Terror attack in Afghanistan. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. It's Wednesday, May 31st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
In the heart of the morning rush hour, a suicide bomber blew himself up in a part of Kabul that's considered the safest. Dozens were killed, hundreds were injured.
In what some describe as hitting a bullet with a bullet, the Pentagon has successfully tested a certain missile defense system, a message for North Korea.
Former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn will reportedly provide some documents as part of a subpoena from the Senate Intelligence Committee.
And why TSA wants a closer and deeper look at your carry-on bag.
They have been testing for many months now in different locations schemes to basically get people to unclutter their bags when they reach the checkpoint. And they're looking for sort of universal things that they can make people remove from their bags that'll help with the images that come up on the X-ray machines.
Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney on why you might need to unpack for security. Did you know something dense, by the way, like a book, can block what an X-ray machine can see? He's here in about 20 minutes. There's been a massive blast in downtown Kabul, Afghanistan today, a suicide bomb attack during rush hour that's killed dozens of people and wounded hundreds of others. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The attack took place near a gate to Afghanistan's presidential palace at a time when Kabul's roads are packed with commuters. The bomb was so powerful that windows were shattered up to a half mile away. It is considered Kabul's safest neighborhood. Foreign embassies are protected by dozens of blast walls that are 10 feet high, and government offices are guarded by police and military. No group immediately claimed responsibility, but last month, the Afghan Taliban announced the beginning of their spring offensive. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. U.S. and Afghan forces, by the way, have been battling the Taliban insurgency for more than 15 years. There are more than 8,000 American troops in Afghanistan training local forces and conducting counterterrorism operations. There are also thousands more NATO troops. Well, comedian Kathy Griffin says she went way too far when she appeared in a brief video holding what looked like President Trump's bloody severed head. She apologized for yesterday's stunt. The first video showed a straight-faced Ms. Griffin slowly lifting the bloody head. She originally described the project with a photographer as, quote, an artsy-fartsy statement, mocking the commander-in-chief. ABC News says many online called for Ms. Griffin to be thrown in jail. In her apology video on Twitter, she begs her fans for forgiveness and says she has asked the photographer to remove the images.
The image is too disturbing. I understand how it offends people. It wasn't funny. I get it.
CNN, whose New Year's Eve coverage Ms. Griffin has co-hosted, called the images disgusting and offensive. Meanwhile, a bathroom products company said it has suspended an ad campaign featuring Ms. Griffin. It's not clear if those developments are what led to her apology. Some suggest she's trying to generate publicity for her latest book. Well, on that note, politeness, decorum, and respect all seem to be endangered ideas when it comes to politics these days. The consequences of this trend are real and visible every day in Washington and in state capitals. Wall Street Journal executive Washington editor Jerry Sibes says anybody who isn't troubled isn't really paying attention. Jerry, explain that.
Well, I think the biggest eyebrow raiser came in Montana last week when a Republican congressional candidate body slammed a reporter because he didn't like the questioning he was getting, and then was charged with assault and won the election anyway. And so I think that is a pretty good sign of where civil discourse or uncivil discourse, at least in the political realm, has gotten in the country. But you know, that's not the only example. You know, social media. Go on social media and look at the way people talk to and about each other, and it's sometimes the literal threats that are made there, and you get a sense of how far this has spread. And you know, the Democratic Party has responded to some extent in kind, and you have town hall meetings being disrupted, and the state party chairman of California using obscenities both to refer to his own party's protesters and the president at a meeting recently of the state party there. So there are all kinds of examples, but I think the sort of the general decline of conversation and debate in the country has been building for a while, and I think the Trump campaign kicked it into high gear, and that's where we are.
So are you saying the president of the United States could change the course?
Well, he could certainly help. You know, I think you have to say that, you know, he shoulders some of the blame for this, a good part of the blame for this, because of the nature of the campaign that he ran last year. You know, he made, you know, insulting his opponents, lying Ted Cruz and crooked Hillary is kind of a regular feature, and he attacked the press, you know, in the most derogatory terms at his rallies. That got his crowd stirred up, and they sort of, you know, regularly threatened reporters who were there, and basically the campaign got pretty ugly, and everybody kind of knows that. And I think that was he picked up on a trend that I think has been underway for a couple of years, but he certainly accelerated it, and now I think it's spread further. So if you want to know who can reverse it, I mean, certainly I think any president has the ability to affect the climate in which national conversations take place, and that's true here, but other leaders have the ability to do it as well, and I think some of them probably need to step forward and assert that.
How about just campus speakers even being denied a chance to get on a podium?
Well, that's a troubling trend, and you know, of all places where there ought to be free thought and free speech in American society, you'd think academia would be the one place. I mean, it's supposed to be a place where, you know, ideas, controversial and otherwise, can be explored and can flourish, and that's not happening right now. And I think that's both part of this trend, and it's also accelerating this trend, I think. And you know, people who run institutions of higher learning have a need to do something about it.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington executive editor Jerry Seib. His piece is called Civil Discourse in Decline. Where does it end? All right, so we've certainly identified all the problems here. I think we all agree on that. What's the solution?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I know, but I know somebody who's thought about this an awful lot is Father John Jenkins, who's the president of Notre Dame, and who spoke about it a bit at their commencement earlier this month, and who's discussed this. And I called him up and asked him that question. What do we do about this? And he said the first thing is for everybody to recognize that this is a problem and that things have deteriorated and we can't just become accustomed to it. And then the second thing is that leaders have to be leaders. You know, you have to have some people who rise above this, as he said, and step forward and show us a different way and call people out for this kind of behavior. And that's, you know, I think that's probably where it starts. The anger out there is in the country on both sides is pretty real. The polarization is very intense, and the Trump phenomenon has made both of those things more acute. But I think that it turns around by people in leadership positions.
All right, lots of blame to go around. Wall Street Journal executive Washington editor Jerry Seib. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. What dad doesn't love to grill, especially when it's a great steak? Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. And now this Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get a limited-time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter deal in the search bar. Omaha Steaks even offers online support with recipes and wine pairings. Here's the offer, 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 tender mild filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional burgers free. Only $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Type deal in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into a Wednesday. Washington has sent another message to North Korea. The U.S. military yesterday scored a successful first-ever missile defense test involving a simulated attack by an intercontinental ballistic missile. It's considered a significant accomplishment against a mounting threat from North Korea. The military fired an ICBM-type missile from the Marshall Islands toward the waters just south of Alaska. It then fired a missile to intercept it from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley.
I think the administration believes that China is doing back-channel networking with North Korea in a way that's getting them to try and stop the nuclear testing.
Experts compare the complexity of this to hitting a bullet with another bullet. The Missile Defense Agency said it was the first live-fire test against a simulated ICBM for what's called the ground-based Mid-Course Defense, a program managed by Boeing. A 2016 assessment by the Pentagon, by the way, said the U.S. ground-based interceptors meant to knock out any incoming ICBM still had low reliability. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
According, a bomb was detonated in the heart of Afghanistan's capital near foreign embassies and military bases, killing at least 80 people and sending a mushroom cloud over the city. Hundreds of other people were wounded, and the number of casualties is expected to rise. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the explosion, which officials say was a suicide attack. One of President Trump's closest confidants, a personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, has now become a focus of the expanding congressional investigation into Russian efforts to influence the campaign. Cohen confirmed that House and Senate investigators have asked him to provide information and testimony about any contacts he had with people connected to the Russian government, but he says he has turned down the invitation. Meanwhile, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn will provide documents to the Senate Intelligence Committee. President Trump has met with the head of the EPA ahead of a decision on whether the U.S. would withdraw from a landmark climate deal. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer was asked about Trump's position on climate change.
Can you say whether or not the president believes that human activity is contributing to the warming of the climate?
Honestly, I haven't asked him.
Trump met with EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt yesterday as he mulls a decision on the climate agreement. Hundreds of officers descended on Orlando International last night after reports of a man with a gun near the rental car area, but the weapon turned out to be fake. Orlando Police Chief John Mina says there was a two-hour standoff.
I think when the officers got there, they realized this was a person who was in mental distress and basically wanted to do the whole suicide by cop thing.
The ex-Marine, identified as 26-year-old Michael Pettigrew, surrendered and dropped his weapon, which turned out to be fake. Whatever happened to going out for lunch? We made 433 million fewer trips to restaurants at lunchtime last year, resulting in $3.2 billion in lost business for restaurants. While restaurants have raised their tabs over the past few years, the price of food at supermarkets has dropped, widening the cost gap between bringing in lunch and eating out.
What is going on there? When was the last time you invited me out, for example?
No power line. Me? You?
Yeah.
What about you and me?
Oh, I asked first as to what you have done in terms of inviting
absolutely
me.
Absolutely nothing.
So, got to fix that. We got to claw back some of those billions lost. 22 minutes now after the hour.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a Reese and Irby's robot franchise, Bob. The robots serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt, and the franchisor secured the best locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, easiest employees you'll ever have. Where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 9393. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 9393.
Thanks for being with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Will you be flying in the coming weeks or months? Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney says travelers should expect new procedures at TSA checkpoints later this year, with more carry-on items like food and tablets separated into bins. Scott, what's ahead for us?
Well, TSA has a problem, and the problem is that people are cluttering up their bags with all kinds of stuff, and the X-ray machines are having a hard time reading them. Or the operators at the X-ray machines are having a hard time reading them. So they have been testing for many months now in different locations schemes to basically get people to unclutter their bags when they reach the checkpoint. So some of it is take all your food items out of your bag. Food is a particular problem because it triggers lots of false alarms. Take all your electronics larger than a cell phone out of your bag. It's contrary to what people do at the standard lanes of they know they have to take their laptop out, but not their iPad or their tablet or their e-reader or game player or all that kind of stuff. They're looking for sort of universal things that they can make people remove from their bags that'll help with the images that come up on the x-ray machines.
What is it about food that's tricky for an x-ray machine?
Well, some foods have densities that turn out to be similar to explosive materials. It's not that they are explosive materials, it's just that the way the machines work, it has a hard time distinguishing, at least with this technology so far. Chocolate chips can look like fertilizer pellets or, different things. I had somebody tell me I went through with grits, and the grits got pulled out of the bag and said, this looks like some kind of explosive material on the x-ray machine. What the x-ray machine does is presents the operator with a color-coded image, both a top view and a side view, of what's inside the bag. And so different densities get different colors, and the operator is trained to look for certain colors and things like that. The problem is if you have a whole bunch of stuff of different densities on top of each other, what color does it show up on the screen? And some things get masked underneath, and some things you have to spend some time figuring out what's what. The operator is actually required to identify everything in the bag, or at least clear everything in the bag to make sure there's not a problem. And if they can't, then the bag goes off for manual check. And so what you see is security lines really slow down because the operator is spending a whole lot of time looking at the image, trying to figure it out.
Well, that sounds like fun, right? Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Loans are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $1,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees, and no collateral is required, and you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6161 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 6161. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6161.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Wednesday, May 31, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Suicide bomber in Afghanistan kills dozens in a morning rush hour attack. Wall Street Journal posted a picture of a massive crater it caused. Successful missile defense test for the U.S. military. Reports say Scott Pelley is out as anchor of CBS Evening News. The annual historic National Road Yard Sale begins today along U.S. Route 40 from Baltimore to St. Louis. Albert Pujols hit his 599th homer last night, and the food's considered lucky for fans of the Predators and Penguins like Shrimp May Fun in Pittsburgh. I'm in that story in about 20 minutes. President Trump hoped to secure a reset with his first foreign trip, but White House reporter Matthew Nussbaum at Politico says the president is instead returning to a barrage of controversy at home. This includes the Russia probe, which now involves his senior advisor, Jared Kushner, who's also his son-in-law. Matt, what are you hearing?
One thing I think everyone's watching is what happens next with this Jared Kushner issue. Is Trump going to comment directly on it? So far, the White House has not confirmed or denied whether he tried to set up this back channel, and we haven't yet heard from Trump on it, so I think that's something we're obviously looking out for this week.
Is that considered something illegal that he did, or just has raised eyebrows?
So the conversations that I've had, again, at this point, these are alleged activities, but if they did occur, they'd be seen as highly improper by some and could potentially have crossed the line into illegal. But again, you know, we're just going off of media reports, and we don't know for sure what was conducted here, and we haven't gotten a denial or confirmation from the White House.
All right. You mentioned, too, with regards to health care and Mr. Trump calling for more spending. Set that up.
So, as you know, the health care bill greatly reduces government spending on health care. That's part of the goal. That's part of what Republicans are looking to do. So it was odd to see that tweet call for more spending, and we're unclear on how the White House is going to address that. Does that mean the president no longer supports this bill? I doubt that's what it means, but it's hard to sort of square those two. I'll be looking for answers on that from the White House at the briefing today.
We're speaking with Matthew Nussbaum, White House reporter at Politico. He's written a piece called Six Things to Watch as Trump Faces His New Reality. All right, on the heels of this trip to Europe, too, kind of, I don't know, throwing punches, I guess, from both sides, right?
Yeah, so we're seeing some heated exchanges with allies, particularly Germany. We know that Angela Merkel said that the U.S. can't really be relied on as much anymore. Her domestic political rival really lit into Trump for his treatment of her. And then this morning we had Trump tweeting about Germany. But the White House is saying, look, these are frank discussions between allies. Being allies, you can have these sort of open conversations, and they're not expressing any worry over the long-term nature of this relationship.
On the legislative front, you talk about, too, changing the narrative and maybe getting back to passing legislation like tax reform, as we talked about before, repeal and replace of Obamacare. What about the narrative?
It seems like we're never talking about tax reform or health care reform anymore because the headlines are so filled with, you know, the latest news on the Russia investigation and palace intrigue and that kind of stuff. And obviously the White House would rather be talking about their legislative push. And this president has big goals legislatively, and I think part of it's a messaging problem, but part of it's just there's so much going on here. They haven't really been able to focus in on this agenda and put out a lot of details. They'd love to get back to, you know, getting health care through the Senate, and they're still talking tax reform in the near future. It's hard to see how that comes together quickly, though.
Boy, and in the middle of all that, as you point out, too, the Paris climate deal.
That's right. So we're expecting a decision on that this week from the president. It's remains, as far as we're concerned, unclear whether he'll stay in or go out. We know he's got powerful advisors urging each side of that issue, and that's potentially his biggest decision so far that has far-reaching consequences potentially for the climate, but certainly for the U.S. Standing with international agreements, sort of letting people know, are we still going to be involved in these conversations, writing the rules, or are we going to sort of make our own path? So that's probably the biggest decision to watch this week from a policy perspective.
Thanks, Matt. That's Matthew Nussbaum, White House reporter at Politico. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you'd like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username at Gordon Deal.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, baseball, Gordon, it's not all fighting and unwritten rules. Sometimes the players are actually nice to each other and have fun. Yahoo Sports says that part of that baseball fraternity was on display last night in a moment involving Detroit Tigers superstar Miguel Cabrera and Kansas City Royals rookie Eric Skoglund. The 24-year-old Skoglund was called up to help out the Royals' injured pitching staff and was facing Cabrera and the Tigers in his big league debut. So how did Miggy welcome him? Not with big league intimidation. He actually gave Skoglund a sly thumbs up and a nod as he settled into the batter's box. As for Skoglund, he was actually very impressive against the Tigers. He threw 6 1/3 scoreless innings, allowing just 2 hits. And one of the best moments, when he struck out Miguel Cabrera on 3 pitches in the 4th inning.
Wow.
So now it's on, right?
Yes.
So it's like, all right, welcome to the big leagues, rookie. But now it's on. Now he's going to hit, 3 homers against him the next
right.
time.
Cabrera, is really, quite the funny character.
Yeah.
Isn't he? I didn't realize that, I think, until fairly recently when somebody posted a video of kind of all the funny things or antics he's done. It's not unusual for him to reach out to an opponent and just do something clever or nice or a very sportsmanlike gesture.
Yeah, it seems like he likes to have fun.
Yeah.
And again, this was a very cool, especially coming on the heels of the big brawl the other day.
Exactly.
This was kind of a cool thing to see, baseball players being nice to each other.
Cabrera, peacemaker.
Yes.
example setter.
Right.
I like it.
And a California man, Gordon, out cruising in his DeLorean DMC-12, was pulled over on the highway for traveling a speed familiar to 80s movie fans, 88 miles per hour. Spencer White of Santa Clarita said he was taking his mother for a drive on the 14 freeway about 9 p.m. Friday in his 1982 DeLorean, a car most famous for being converted into a time machine by Christopher Lloyd's Doc Brown in the Back to the Future series, when he noticed he was going 85 miles per hour. White's mom, noticing his excessive speed, told him that at that point he might as well take it up to 88. White, who just bought his dream car a month ago, said he was only going 88 for about 2 seconds when he was pulled over by a California Highway Patrol officer. White says the officer, who clearly understood the movie reference, showed him the readout on his radar gun showing the speed. And while White, his mom, and the officer clearly had a few laughs over the incident, the smiles might have subsided after the $400 speeding ticket was issued, a citation that White was not able to time travel his way out of.
Yikes.
So how about that for mom,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, thanks, mom.
Mom's enjoying the 85-mile-an-hour ride, and she's like, yeah, why don't you just kick it on up to 88?
Right.
Parents, I don't know if mom helped to pay for that ticket.
Right. Parents who sleep with one eye open at night once kids start driving, in the later stages of life, apparently encourage their children to go even faster.
Yeah, mom feels the need for speed.
Yeah. Is mom kicking in, by the way, any portion of that $400?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Wow. $400. Was he in a 55 zone? Because that is a big ticket.
Yeah, that's...
Man, wow. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Consider this as you're about to shove that next forkful in your mouth. Healthy eating doesn't just boil down to the choices we make in the kitchen. NBC unpacked a new survey that found 3 non-food factors that can inspire healthier eating. Number 1, pick the right people to surround yourself with. The survey found 2/3 of adults who agreed they had someone encouraging them to be healthy reported eating healthfully in the previous day. Number 2, seek the right career path. For those who say their careers inspire a sense of purpose and that they have opportunities to learn or do something interesting, the percentage of healthy eaters was high. And number 3, reduce financial stress. In the survey, people were asked if they had enough money to do everything they wanted to do. And among those who said yes, 69% were healthy eaters. 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a car bomb exploded in a busy neighborhood in Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, this morning, causing massive casualties. At least 80 people have been killed and hundreds wounded. The neighborhood is home to several embassies and not far from the presidential palace and foreign ministry. The Afghan Taliban denied any involvement in the massive suicide attack. The Pentagon has staged a test in which the military shot down a missile similar to the type that North Korea could someday use to threaten the U.S. It marks the first time a ground-based mid-course interceptor has destroyed an intercontinental ballistic missile target. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley called on North Korea to end its missile tests.
Nothing is changing North Korea's actions. And so it's regrouping and saying, okay, what are we going to do? If this is going to happen every other day, how should we respond in a way that we actually stop these things or slow it down?
The Pentagon test cost $244 million. The man accused of fatally stabbing two people who stepped in to stop a hate-filled tirade on a Portland train last week shouted as he was arraigned on murder charges yesterday.
Free speech or die, Portland. You got no safe place. This is America. Get out if you don't like free speech.
Jeremy Christian is charged with murder and other counts for allegedly stabbing three people who intervened after Christian was shouting hate speech that included anti-Muslim comments directed at two young women. Comedian Kathy Griffin has apologized for a photo shoot in which she appeared holding a fake bloodied head that resembled President Trump. In a video message posted on Twitter, Griffin asked for forgiveness and said she'd crossed the line.
I'm a comic. I crossed the line. I move the line, then I cross it. I went way too far.
The gruesome image brought a storm of online criticism, including from Donald Trump Jr. and Chelsea Clinton. NBC says never mind to its plan to move runaway hit drama This Is Us to Thursdays next season. The network says there was concern that with NBC airing Thursday night football games in the late fall, there would be too many interruptions for the show, so the tearjerker will remain on Tuesday's schedule.
Oh, and all is right with the world.
I am relieved, I gotta tell you.
Do you like it?
I love that show.
Kelly watches it and insists I must catch up with
it's
that.
Great.
I've
it
seen
really
clips
is.
Of it. It does look really good. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Glad you're with us. Game two of the Stanley Cup Final tonight in Pittsburgh with the Penguins up 1-0 in the best of seven series. To help all these superstitious fans, Grubhub, the online and mobile food ordering company, has released the top good luck foods. For the Nashville Predators, chili cheese dogs were ordered 296% more on the Predators' winning game days. Spinach salad was ordered 262% more on Predators' game-winning days. Rice pudding by 244%. Other good luck foods, bagel and cream cheese, spring rolls, basil fried rice, beef burger, barbecue wings, sautéed string beans, and buffalo tenders. Lucky food for the Pittsburgh Penguins fans, shrimp may fun was ordered 200% more on Penguins' winning game days. Oh, Chinese takeout connoisseurs like myself know that the May Fun noodle is rice-based, unlike the lo mein noodle, which is flour-based. Other lucky food for Penguins fans, Korean fried chicken, orange chicken, cheese pizza, huevos rancheros. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big, even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.